Today on Pacer Soundtable, we are going to speak with Lyndon Jones, co-Mr. Basketball at Marion High School in 1987, the point guard on the teams that won three consecutive state championships, 1985, 86, and 87. Lyndon, we were just talking, 30 years since you guys won that title. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it, that it's been that long?
Absolutely, man. You know, it just seems like it was yesterday. And, you know, just talking about it, you know, brings back a lot of memories. But 30 years, man, I'm getting old.
I know you expect a good turnout from the Marion teams.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good turnout. There's been a lot of buzz over text messaging. I think you're even going to get a lot of Marion, the Marion community, come to recognize and help recognize this great honor that we're getting from the Pacers.
Yeah, and the Marion teams will be recognized Friday when the Pacers play Memphis on Hickory Night. This gives the Pacers an opportunity to recognize a lot of great players and great teams from the history of Indiana basketball, and certainly the Marion Giants have a unique place in that history, not only with the three state championships that you guys won, but with the champions before that, back-to-back champions in the 70s and going back even further. Lyndon, I know you grew up in Marion, so you must have been pretty well-versed in the tradition of Marion High School basketball at a young age.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the whole feeder program that they had in Marion, whether it was the Powell Club or the Boys Club. And, you know, every Friday and Saturday night from November through March, you know, they rolled up the sidewalks in Marion. Everybody attended the games. And so as a kid, you always wanted to be a Marion Giant. That's all you lived for and dreamed about.
Who were your early influences in basketball? As a young kid growing up, I'm sure at a young age you knew you wanted to be a player and you were playing in the Boys Club and so forth. Who were the guys or the teams that you remember that kind of helped inspire you?
Well, of course, I mean, if you talk about the professional guys, you talk about Dr. J and all those guys. But the local guys, man, there were several guys that never had the opportunity to make it, right? There were good ball players on the playgrounds in Marion. But you talk about a Joseph Price that played at Notre Dame. You talk about a James Blackman who was the one guy that I really, really appreciated and looked up to, he and Joseph.
Okay. And then I guess you were going to the games as a kid, the high school games, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Drew,
I mean,
you know, the whole scene of a sold-out, you know, North Central Conference game had to be inspiring to you, made you want to go out and play.
Absolutely, man. Just the whole fanfare, how they were recognized around the town. You know, and when they would get introduced, man, the guys would bust out of the paper ring, and then they would turn the lights out and introduce you by your name, and everybody would go crazy. So, man, who didn't want that as a kid?
Yeah. At what point did you realize that you had a chance to be a special player? You know, at what age did you start to really perform well and have the confidence that you could really do something with basketball?
Yeah, so, I mean, it went in cycles in Marion because, I mean, especially with our class, with Jay and myself and Derek Keys and Eric Ewer and Kyle Persinger, who were the five sophomores that played all the way through from 85 through 86. You know, when we all played against each other at the Powell Club, you know, we'd all be on different teams. And, you know, at a different point, one of us would be the better player, right? So it was Jay, and then it switched to Kyle, and then Eric, and then me and Derek, right? And so, you know, you just never knew who was gonna blossom. We all knew that we were gonna be pretty good ball players, but we just didn't know it was gonna be able to take us to college and be able to do things beyond that. And so if I had to pinpoint a time, I think the transition from my sixth grade to my seventh grade year, I was picked up on a AAU team out of Gary, Indiana, and went to play in the AAU National Championship. And I went down there and performed really well. I didn't want to go because the rest of my teammates didn't get picked up on this team. And so, I mean, I was always thinking of point guard, thinking about everybody else. But I ended up going, went down there and made the All-American team. We won the whole thing, and I made the All-American team. And at that point, I was like, I can play this game a little bit. And so it just blossomed from there.
Mm-hmm. So you're an All-American as a seventh grader.
Yes. Yeah.
Did that get to your head a little bit? Did that give you confidence, or did it put you through a period of being overconfident and thinking you were too good?
It just gave me more confidence. You know, you can ask everyone. I mean, my family did a really good job, and the coaches did a really good job of making sure that none of us got a big hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, it was just like, okay, you know, I know I'm going to bring my part, so I'm going to push the rest of these guys to make sure they get better as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your championships. The first one in 1985, how many of your class were starters on that team? I know you and Jay started as sophomores.
Yeah.
Who else?
So in the middle of the season, Eric Ewer and Derek Keys got an opportunity to start because Jay Teagle went down with the ankle injury. And so, but on a consistent basis, or throughout the entire year, Jay and I were starters. And then Derek and Eric got a lot of playing time as well. And Kyle got some playing time toward the end there as well.
Mm-hmm. What stands out in your memory about that particular championship, your first one?
It was a whirlwind. And I think the biggest thing that stands out is that the prior year, we had a team that was really good, but we didn't connect well. And through the leadership of LaFon Bowens, Nicky Mallory, and Jay Teagle, that next year we came back and, man, we all connected. We played together all summer, and we really just wanted to do something special. And I think the biggest thing that stands out is that we went 29-0, right? I mean, we went through the NCC conference, beating everyone, and then we went all the way through state and semi-state, which was really tough for us.
Yeah, people should recognize going through the North Central Conference undefeated is a huge accomplishment. You're talking about, you know, Kokomo and Richmond and Lafayette Jeff and, you know, Newcastle, all these schools with huge arenas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, always producing great players. Think of all the Mr. Basketballs who have come out of the North Central Conference alone. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a great accomplishment. So then your junior year in 86, tell me about that championship.
So our junior year, we come back, right? And, you know, we lose three guys that were our primary leaders from our sophomore team, from our 85 team. And we have some struggles. We start off well. We all get better over the summer and we start the season off well. But we hit the wall, right? And, you know, we have some finger pointing going on, right? We have some I'm going to be the man going on. And, you know, I remember calling a team meeting, and sometimes these team meetings don't work. But in this particular case, you know, we had just lost a couple games in a row. And, you know, we were chasing that record as well in terms of the Crispus Attuck record, I believe it was, right? And so we had that pressure on us. We had the pressure of winning the state championship, and we had the pressure of who's going to step up and lead this team. And so I called a team meeting, and, you know, I went down the line of everyone and said, hey, this is your role, this is your role, this is your role, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how we're going to get this thing turned around. And it just wasn't me. I mean, all the other guys gave input as well, but I remember from that point on, we turned it around and we finished the season strong. We finished the season. We lost to Fort Wayne Northrop, but you know it was a really tight game. They beat us at our place, and we knew that we could beat them if we played better. So long story short. So what I remember is that we had some challenging times that year, but we pulled it together at the end. And we just didn't know how far we were going to go, but we knew we were going to be competitive, and we knew we had a shot to do it. And when we got through our sectional and regional, and we knew that we were going to face Northrop again in Michigan City, Rogers up at semi-state, and we knew we needed a little help. And so we ended up in a tough game our junior year, our that 86 year. We played Fort Wayne Northrop, and it was a really close game, tight game. Went down to the wire, and we were able to beat them in Michigan City. And so we had to come back that night, which is different now, where we play two games a day. And we had a really tough game against Michigan City Rogers. So really, to me, the championship was won in Fort Wayne that year at semi-state, because you were talking about teams that were in the top five, right? That we had two of the top five teams were there with us that we had to play against. So, yeah.
And then your senior year, you and Jay and the others are seniors. Was it as easy as it might have seemed, you know, given the experience you had winning that third one?
Yeah, so we came in with a lot more confidence that third year. We came in on a mission to close this thing out, right? We never heard about the Wonder Five out of Franklin that won the three in a row as well. And so folks started talking to us about that. And, you know, and when we ended the season and we won down at Indianapolis at Marquis Square that our junior year, we automatically started talking about and thinking about let's make sure we finish the right way. Let's finish strong. And we also wanted to make sure Mr. Green was differentiated between everybody else in terms of state championships.
Yeah, Bill Green was your coach, and he had won a state championship with Washington High School in 1969, coaching George McGinnis, Steve Downing, and others. In fact, they beat Marion in the afternoon game that year, in a game that Marion really probably should have won. You probably heard about that at some point in your life.
Yeah.
And so then Bill Green is coaching Marion. And what was it about Bill Green? I mean, obviously he had talent when he won state championships. Every coach who wins has talent. But what was it about him that made you guys so successful?
He was a lucky guy. He always just seemed to find the talent. That's what it was.
That's part
no,
of it.
No, so yeah, you have to have talent. But I think with Mr. Green, I think he was a master motivator. I think, you know, he demanded and he got respect from all his players, but he gave respect as well. He didn't restrict you, right? If he felt like you had the ability to do something, he would make you do it, right? He would push you to do it. You know, early on in my career, I was bigger than some of the other kids. Jay and I and Derek, we were some of the bigger kids. And then they soon caught me like in the eighth or I think it was the eighth grade. And so Mr. Green would come because during those junior high school games, Eric, you and Kyle Persinger and myself went to one junior high school, and Jay and Derek and some other guys that were on the teams as well, on the championship teams, they went to a different junior high school. So it would be big games, man, when we played each other during the regular season, also city tournament, where even brought out, I mean, it would be sellouts, right? And it would bring out everybody in the community because they wanted to see the up-and-coming talent that they had heard about. And so Mr. Green had the foresight to say, Lennon, you're probably not going to grow that much more, so I'm going to move you to point guard. And so I was still bigger than everybody else, but I was running point at that time. So him just being able to look forward and put pieces in place, he was pretty good about that, right?
Yeah, that's good. What was it like in the community? You know, Marion's a pretty small community. Obviously, a team winning a state championship is a big deal in a community like that. You guys win three in a row. What was it like just living in the community, being a high school kid at that time?
I think we said this before, but it was like we were rock stars, right? I mean, it wasn't just in our community, man. Everywhere we went, I mean, people recognized us because people in Indiana know about basketball, right? If we don't know anything else, we know about basketball. And if you're playing well, if you're not playing well, if you're a player, if you're not a player. And so, I mean, nobody put us up on pedestals. So when I say a rock star, it's not like that, but everybody just appreciated what we did and they respected it. And it was just it was a great thing because we not only people knew us in the state of Indiana, people knew us across North America, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of when you say Marion, oh, that's basketball, right? You guys win state championships. So,
are you like signing autographs for adults when you're going out to dinner and that kind of thing? I mean, what was it like, just day to day life?
Yeah, definitely. We would sign autographs. Not necessarily, maybe some adults. You know, they would have some paraphernalia that had our pictures on our buttons or some posters, and we would sign that. You know, you would get kids come up to you and want to take pictures, and I mean, so it was definitely like you were a rock star.
Yeah, and I understand that it happened on the road too. Like if you'd go to one of the other NCC schools, there'd be people waiting for you when you got off the bus and that type of thing.
Absolutely, man. I mean, and the opponents didn't like that very much. We come into their homes and people would show us a lot of respect. I can't ever really remember us getting booed, right? We got a lot of cheer, especially our senior year when Jay and I said we were going to IU. So that just solidified things.
That won people over. When did you make that decision or make that announcement?
So we made that announcement prior to the season. We had just started the season. I think it was in November time frame. And, you know, to be honest, we both really were going to go to different schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we took our visit there and we came back and we decided individually. Everybody thinks we decided together, but we decided individually. We just actually told each other first, mm-hmm. right, that we were going to IU.
Where were you going to go originally?
So I don't know what it was, but I had my heart set on going to NC State. And Jim Valvano, he came into my grandmother's house and he kicked the shoes off and he ate her brownies and told her that they were the best brownies that he'd ever had. And, right. And so, I mean, but I just from the time that I watched them when they won the championship, NCAA championship, I always wanted to play for that guy.
Mm-hmm. And Jay was going to go to what, Louisville, I think?
Jay was going to Louisville.
Yeah.
Jay was going to Louisville. That was, since he was young, that was a school that he always wanted to attend.
Yeah. So what do you think swung you guys toward IU?
Well, just the rich tradition of Indiana basketball, us understanding, and well, I have to speak for myself, but definitely the rich tradition of Indiana basketball. And, you know, I really wanted my family to be able to watch me, right? And I also wanted to be able to, in my mind, secure my place as one of the best to ever play in the state of Indiana, and also have an opportunity to win Mr. Basketball. And then also the life after basketball, right? Mm-hmm. I had all that going on my 18-year-old head. So
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And you work now for Cummins Engine, have a great job there. So it really has kind of played out the way you wanted, right? I mean, you're being Mr. Basketball, playing at Indiana, certainly has helped your career after basketball.
It certainly has. It has not hurt it. It's yeah. definitely helped it, yeah.
So did you and Jay expect to be co-Mr. Basketballs, or were you surprised by that?
We thought that was the only fair way, right? I don't know. He may answer differently, but I certainly didn't want to win the award without him, right? I mean, we were always a tandem. We always played better together versus apart. And I thought that was an award that both of us definitely deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys were almost like literal brothers, you know, the Van Arsdale twins or whatever. You guys were always kind of regarded as a duo.
Yeah.
Do I remember correctly that you actually scored more points in high school than he did?
Or? No, he actually scored more points in high school than I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But weren't you the leading scorer some of those years?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was always second leading scorer, but I think the only thing that – I think the one record that I have is I think for the from semi-state forward, I thought I held the most points in the state tournament or something like that. I think I broke Oscar's record or something like that. I think it still stands. I can't remember or not. But I mean, we'll go back and forth in terms of who's doing what on the team.
Yeah. Well, you guys fit together so well. You're a genuine point guard. He's a great shooter.
Yeah.
So the chemistry was obviously there. And you're such good friends off the court that had to come into it as well. Do you remember how you found out that you were co-Mr. Basketballs?
We were down here. I don't think it was – it was certainly after the state championship. So I think we were down here playing in that Kentucky-Indiana state championship game maybe when we used to do that. So the winner of the Indiana state championship would play to Kentucky. And we went over to the Indianapolis Star building down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we just thought we were going over for an interview. And Bill Green knew at that time. And so when we got over there, they surprised us and said, you guys are co-Mr. Basketball. So it was great, yeah.
Took your pictures there and everything with the jerseys. Yeah, I know. Yeah. When I worked at the Star, it was always a great thing when they would bring in the next Mr. Basketball and take pictures and so forth. Yeah. So do you have much memorabilia from your high school career? Do you have stuff at home on the walls or any other stuff that you've kept?
I have my Mr. Basketball jersey. I do have a Marion jersey, and I do have, at my mom's house, I do have some stuff from high school as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the rings and stuff, yeah.
So how many guys from your Marion teams do you expect to be here for Hickory Night on Friday?
I expect probably close to everyone, right? I mean, there's been a lot of text message going on, and these guys are really pumped, and it's going to be good to see everyone. So guys that live all across the country are coming in.
Yeah. Have you kept in touch with many guys? I mean, I know it's hard to do as you go through life and start a family and everything, but have you kept in touch with most of the guys?
Yeah, I kept in touch with most of the guys, yeah. Especially, the guys off of our 85 team. And, you know, some of those guys still live in Marion. And then Bowens and Teagle and Mallory, right? I see them from time to time as well. But the junior class, definitely keep in touch with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should talk some about your career at IU. I mean, this Hickory Night is for the Marion teams, but you and Jay go to IU. Jay leaves after his sophomore year, enters the draft as a second-round pick of the Clippers. Didn't work out the way he hoped. He would admit now that he went too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You stayed. It seemed like, and I think you've told me this before, that you know, you guys missed each other, right? Not on the court and off, both. His decision to leave impacted both of you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was we've always played together. And as I said earlier, it seemed like we always played better together. And so, you know, when he made the decision to leave, which I support him 100%, we had just come off winning the Big Ten championship as sophomores with Joe Hillman and Brian Sloan and Ty Jallo and some of those other guys, Jamal Meeks and Eric Anderson. And, you know, it was a lot of hype for us going into that next year. Had Jay stayed, I had just gotten invited that summer to the World University Games, where I played on the team coached by Gene Cady and Boeheim out of Syracuse, and some other guys were some really good players, Larry Johnson and Stacey Augman and Tony Jones and Scheffler, and all those guys were on that team, and just a really good team where we won the gold medal. So expectations were really high for me going in that next year, and Jay made a decision to leave, and you know, it was just one of those things where it was timing. And then for whatever reason, I never really got myself back on track after my sophomore year, where I had a really good sophomore year.
Yeah, yeah. And even then, though, you were kind of geared toward your career after basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you've worked for Cook Incorporated. You worked for General Motors. You've been in Georgia, where you worked with your dad.
Yeah.
And then you've been with Cummins since, what, 2005?
Yeah.
I think.
So it's been 12. It'll be 12 years this year. So.
As you go out and about on business, and I know you travel the country, does the name Lyndon Jones ring a bell for a lot of people?
People still recognize my name, which is crazy altogether. I go over to West Virginia a lot, where I have some customers over there, and they're big UK fans there. And the last meeting was that these guys, they Googled me and found out about all my history, right, because we talked about basketball. That's, you know, I mean, you know, they say basketball, you know, brings everyone together, and it certainly does, because all these guys are UK fans over there. But when we, before meetings, we always talk basketball, and it seems to break the ice and we get things done after that point.
Yeah, good, good. Do you have a story from your high school career, any of those 3 years, just a funny thing that happened or whatever that you like to tell, or when you get together with your former teammates that you'll probably bring up that kind of thing, something crazy or funny that happened?
There's several stories, but I think the biggest, the funniest story, and a guy by the name of Jeff Ellsroth, who was a senior when I was a sophomore, and he had in his mind that he was going to be running the other guard with Nicky Mallory out there. And he always talks about how I stole his spotlight and how he was supposed to be out there. But, you know, for the betterment of the team, he made sure he said he would come off the bench so we can make sure that that we would achieve all our goals.
No, he claims that he sacrificed.
He sacrificed for
as opposed
team.
To getting beat out.
Yeah, as opposed to getting beat out. Yeah.
You guys spent so much time together. There must have been a lot of great moments just clowning around in the locker room or on the bus or after practice or in the community, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we were always together. I mean, we did it. We went to camp together. We, you know, we did things around the community together. And so just a lot of fond memories. And I mean, even going back to the five of us, Jay and Derek and Kyle and Eric and myself, I mean, we'd all spend the night together with each other since we were young kids. So just a lot of fond memories, just brothers all the way through.
Yeah. And I would imagine you guys had an impact on the community, you know, you know, racially perhaps, or just the way you carried yourselves, had to be kind of an inspiration for a lot of kids growing up in Marion at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know myself, I grew up in a part of the town, which was not that culturally diverse, right? And so, you know, I had a lot of young kids that looked up to me in the part of town that I grew up in Marion, that still to this day, and they still come up to me and say, "Hey, man, you were my hero." And so that just makes me feel good.
Yeah, no question. Okay. Well, hey, again, Friday, when the Pacers play Memphis, the Marion High School State Championship teams of the 80s will be recognized at halftime. They'll be there throughout the game. Another great chapter in the history of Hoosier Hysteria, Indiana high school basketball. So many great stories. Sometimes we don't recognize the more recent ones. We talk about Milan, we talk about Attucks, and we talk about the championship teams of the 1960s, but here, nobody's won more in a row than Marion High School did in the 80s. So, Lyndon, thanks for coming in. Look forward to seeing you on Friday. I know you're looking forward to seeing your teammates again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.